It's good to have everyone with us this morning. We have a marvelous crowd, and we're glad that all of you are here and hope that you'll find your presence with us today to be beneficial, and our study of the Word of God together especially. The idea of infighting or bickering, speaking evil words, either one to another or one of another, is not something that's new in this world. It's something that is really as old as Cain and Abel, you might say. And if you look over the span of history, as recorded in the Bible or recorded through any other source of history, you find that fact to be proven time and time again, that the speaking of evil words or the speaking of angry words is something that has been repeated and has been intensified over the years. And when you get to the New Testament, and the church of our dear Lord is established, even within that, you find an institution in which infighting and bickering still remain. And yet in James chapter 4 and verse 11, James said this, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." It seems as though sometimes that the slightest of matters or the greatest of matters will stir great emotions within us. And for one reason or another, those great emotions lead us in a direction that often is one from which we cannot return. And that is speaking evil. James' plea, however, is very simple. He says, "Speak not evil." And what then is the remedy by which we do not speak evil? Oh, we sang it just a moment ago. The three stanzas of that great song tell us and give us a plea to not speak anger, to not speak evil. And then when we get to the chorus, we see the writer telling us the remedy that the Bible gives as to how we can avoid such evil and such anger. He says, "Love one another." And it really is as simple as that. Most of this world's problems, I am thoroughly convinced, would be immediately dissolved and put to an end if more people understood the godly concept of love. And I believe that as it particularly pertains to our study of James 4:11 this morning, that more evil words and more words of anger and more words of hostility would never, first of all, creep into the mind nor be let loose from the tongue if more people understood and conceived the godly idea of love. It's amazing how the greatest of remedies often are the most simple. I love hearing people talk about some of the medicinal remedies of the past. And by comparison to today's ideas of medicinal treatments, they sound so simple. But what I often hear is they worked. They were simple, but they worked. Or maybe the way of life from yesterday to today. Perhaps life years ago seemed so much simpler compared to today's idea of what it really means to live. But it worked. Things don't have to be complex to work. And that's good. Because if anyone else is wired like me, our mind simply can't achieve it. But it really is that simple. Love one another. That's what God told us to do, 1 John 4:7-8. That's what God gave an example of doing, John 3 and verse 16. And that is exactly what He expects of us all today. Whether angry words are spoken among the secular world or those words of Abel spoken among brethren, we see that the one true and only remedy is a mutual love and respect that is reciprocated the world over. Love should always reign. It should be the motivation behind everything we do. And it should be the motivation behind everything we speak. Love is a unifying factor. And so this morning, let's very quickly study from James 4 and verse 11. Speak not evil, but rather. First of all this morning, speak not evil, but speak words with charity. In 1 Corinthians 13, a chapter that is known by perhaps most of this world as being either one of the greatest or the greatest writings in all the world on the subject of love, Paul had a thing or two to say about the means by which we can treat one another as it pertains to this charity or to this love. And rather than reading all 13 verses, specify in your mind verses 4 through 6, in which he deals with what love is and what love or charity is not. He says, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Too often, the impressions that we have of one another, whether it be as brethren in Christ, as members of a common family, blood family, or simply as members of the human race, too often the impressions that we have one of another are made and maintained on petty basis. In other words, we don't really fully understand what the depth of an individual is, and so we arrive at a conclusion from the mere surface. Christ warned of that trouble on a number of occasions, but mainly think of Matthew chapter 7. In which he warned to not receive an impression or come to a conclusion based upon that degree of pettiness, the idea of judging from the outside. We need to get to the depth of an individual before we can truly make an impression of who they are. And therefore, what we say to them, how we treat them, and how we're going to be treated in the reciprocal. Paul says that our impressions and our relationships as brethren, especially, are to rise above the world's desire for exaltation. And stop and think about that for just a moment. The way in which the world often relates to one another is based upon the world's selfish desire for individual exaltation. And what I mean by that is, I want you to be down because I want to be up. I want you to be of low degree so that I am of higher degree. Brethren, that's petty. And thankfully, that is original with the world. Paul says, don't measure yourselves or compare yourselves or come to conclusions about yourselves according to this world's view. But rather have more substance to the decisions that you make and the words that you speak. In fact, if you go back to James 4, look at the verse just prior to verse 11. What does James say in leading up to this idea of speak not evil? He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And so you might say, how is it that we avoid those speaking of evil words that he commands against in verse 11? Humble yourselves. Humble minds don't speak evil of one another or speak evil to one another. Humility brings us to what it means to be like Christ. Now you go from Matthew 1 to Matthew 28, or Mark 1 to Mark 16, or the beginning of Luke to the end of Luke, or the beginning of John to the end of John. And you go from the birth of Christ to the point at which He ascends from this earth and no longer has a bodily presence. And not once do you see Him speaking one word of evil. Why? Because Christ humbled Himself. Now, brethren, if we are going to be like Christ, James says, humble yourselves.